church at Corinth, he was concerned about something. He said, "Lest I fear that your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We worship God from our minds. The Bible very often uses the expression "from the heart." But it's not from the heart that pumps blood. That's just an organism that's designed by God to pump blood, distribute oxygen, and keep you alive. It doesn't think. It doesn't worship. It's just an object that's there for a purpose to keep you alive. But the mind, the inner seat of man's emotions, is where you either accept or reject Christ. It's the place which is the center of your worship, who you revere, who you respect, who you love, who you honor. All your emotions come from your mind. The simplicity that is in Christ, that Paul was afraid their minds would be corrupted from, is something that in these last days there has been a massive departure from the simplicity of the blood of Christ. Back in previous centuries, the simplicity of the gospel was much easier to understand, even in false religions, because the blood of Christ was presented as the only alternative to hell. In other words, you either put your faith in what Jesus did with his blood, the offering of his blood that he made personally before his heavenly Father for your sins, and you trusted in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and the offering of his blood that he brought before his Father as your only hope. It was very simple. You put your faith in the blood and works of another man, and you had no hope, no chance of eternal life or escape from damnation and hell, except by your faith in the blood of Christ. We are living in a time where vast numbers of people are beginning to go after a movement that is known as the ecumenical movement, in which all the different false beliefs are being consolidated together in one massive group under the concept of "we're Christian, we're all working to get to the same place." The idea is put forward, we all believe Jesus is the Son of God. We all want him to be recognized as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, God of Gods. And since we all believe in Jesus as God's Son, that makes us one large body of believers, and we're all Christians. A Christian is someone who is like Christ. And a Christian is someone who knows what Christ was like, because the person has not only experienced salvation by faith in the blood of Christ and his sacrifice, they have gone on to learn of Christ, and they have discovered that they are not born physically like Jesus, but that is a spiritual transformation that occurs at the point of salvation that is eternal. But during their life, they are to grow spiritually and to become more and more like Christ, so they can have Christ-like attributes and people can see it as a Christian. We're coming into a period of time known as the tribulation period. We're not there yet. We're not too far away. But when the Antichrist arises, the people that are going to overcome him are those who are overcoming by the blood of Christ. It means they have their faith, their hope, their trust, their belief in his blood and his sacrifice, and in nothing else. In Revelation 12 and 11, it tells us about a group of people in the tribulation period who are overcomers, and it tells how they overcame. And they, the overcomers, true believers, and they overcame him, the Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb. Those who truly understand that their only salvation is in the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, that blood brought before God was the only blood that could atone for our sins, are the people who will never take the mark of the beast. But there are many others who have tried to add to the blood of Christ, take away from the blood of Christ, introduce a new concept in a new gospel, which is not a gospel about Christ. There are so many false religions on the earth that no one can really keep count of them. But they have corrupted the simplicity that is in Christ, and they do not know Christ. They will take the mark of the beast, because they will believe that he is the true Messiah returned from God. And there's only one group of people that won't receive him as being the true Christ: those whose faith is in the blood of the first Christ, the only Christ, and whose only hope is in the covenant of blood that Jesus himself introduced. And they overcame him, the Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They testified of the blood of Christ, and as that being the only redeeming element that God would accept for the salvation of their souls. And they loved not their lives unto the death. This vast ecumenical movement of millions of so-called believers coming together to form one great universal invisible body, which will then be visible as the true Christianity that's going to bring in the millennium. That group of ungodly men and women claiming to be of Christ are going to receive him, because if they do not receive him, they will not be allowed to buy and sell, and they will take his mark. True believers are those who have their faith in Christ's covenant of blood, his blood. I hope that every one of you sitting here this morning, inside your mind, where you worship and where you think, where you feel, and where you have your desires, your dreams, your aspirations, your plans for the future, everything there is about you is in your mind. Your heart. The heart is the mind. I hope that this morning, as you sit here, you don't have your faith in anything else for salvation than in the blood of Christ, and you recognize that you owe Jesus everything and that he owes you nothing. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. He didn't have to sacrifice himself over and over again. And all those billions of goats and calves and their blood that was shed never took away one single solitary sin. But they pointed to the one who one day would come and shed his blood and take away their sin. And all those in the Old Testament that looked forward to the coming of a Messiah, though they did not understand the purpose of the Messiah except to save them, all of them that had their faith in Messiah and his ability to save, though they brought goats and calves and all the sacrifices, it was never the blood of those sacrifices that cleansed their sin. It was their faith that caused them to offer those sacrifices, because they believed in the promise of God in Genesis 3:15 that one day he would send a seed through a woman, and that seed would crush the power of Satan, who had tempted Eve and caused man to inherit a sinful nature that is totally depraved and must depend entirely upon the blood covenant in Christ to save them from what they are, and to save them from eternal damnation and to receive eternal life. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. This is something that Jesus has already done. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, those who recognize us as being those who have their faith in the blood of the Lamb are those in the tribulation period who will overcome the Antichrist. They will not love their lives to the death. They will die rather than take the mark of the beast, because their faith is in Christ and his blood, and not in a man who will come and claim to be the Messiah. They will be those who believe that Jesus paid the full price, having obtained eternal redemption for us, something he has already done. And because their true faith is in Christ and his blood, they will suffer physical death rather than worship a false Messiah, because they will know the truth, and the truth will have set them free, and they will not go back under bondage. Those who believe he, Jesus Christ, alone is faithful are those who have their faith in his covenant of blood. And they will suffer and endure in the tribulation period. Those whose faith is not in the power of his blood sacrifice on the cross will take the mark of the beast. They will be like the Pharisees of old, wanting to offer a sacrifice raised by their own effort. And the theme of the ecumenical movement is, we can keep the covenant of God. We're all working to get to the same place. We're all believers. Together we can conquer. And on the surface it sounds good, but they have no humility in their hearts. They have no awareness of their own total depravity, and they trust in their own abilities and try to add it to the work of Christ. God will not accept nor receive it. They are doomed children of hell, headed for hell, bound for hell, because they will not believe the simplicity of the gospel that is in Christ. They will trust in Antichrist shed blood. The Antichrist will suffer a war. He will suffer a wound in the war by a sword, a weapon of war. And people will believe this man has shed his blood trying to fight for our freedom. Many will believe he is the Messiah. Many will believe he is the promised one of God. The ecumenical movement will follow him lock, barrel, and stock. But the truth of the matter is, the true Messiah has already come, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood has been shed, it's finished, and it's our faith in that blood and the faithfulness of the one who gave it that allows us to be made children of God through the new birth. Hebrews 10:4. Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. They would have to catch the goat. They would have to catch the sheep. They would have to catch the oxen. They would have to kill it themselves. It involved raising the beast. It involved caring for the beast. It involved pinning up the beast. It involved slaughtering the beast. It involved a multiplicity of things that they had to do with their own fleshly abilities and nature. It took time on their part to offer these sacrifices. And they believed, many of them, that it was in the time and effort that they spent in providing this for God, that God would honor them because they had raised it correctly, because they had slaughtered it correctly, because they had presented it correctly, and because through their own efforts they had pleased God. Many of them believed that they were satisfying and atoning for their sins, and what God meant for them to see was their inability to fulfill the truths of God, and over and over and over and over again they had to offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and there was no end to it, and their conscience was never clean. And finally Jesus came and offered the one blood atonement, and now when a man looks at the blood of Christ, he sees that one offering having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Antichrist followers will accept what he does. His wounding, a deadly wound and a weapon of war, fighting for the welfare of man, as being his offering that they can trust in. And they will follow the will of a man, and he will provide them with what they have always wanted, a salvation they can work for and obtain by their own efforts. But then in Hebrews 10:4, followed by Hebrews 10:12-20, it tells us about the blood covenant of Christ. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The moment that you trust in Christ Jesus, his blood, his sacrifice, his offering, as the only covering that God will allow you to have, through which he cannot see your sin, because the blood of Christ covers your sin. You have that man sitting on the right hand of God. God places you in Christ and places Christ in you, and there's a spiritual union and bond that is eternal. And the sacrifice for sins lasts forever. And this man is your constant intercessor with the Father. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. The simplicity that is in Christ is Jesus did it all, does it all, and will continue to do it all. And were it not for the mercy of God and the shed blood of Christ, none of us could ever have seen heaven. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. When this great tribulation period is over, finally the millennial reign is over, then all of his enemies will have been destroyed. The last enemy is death. And after the millennial reign, there will be no more death. And all his enemies will sit at his feet. And he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will be there with him for all eternity, knowing the only reason that we are there is because that one lone, single, solitary man walked to Calvary, let himself be brutally murdered, maligned, hated, offended, and shed his blood. It is the only sacrifice that God will receive. And to try to add to it or take away from it is blasphemy against God. It is an annulment of the covenant. It is spiritual adultery. It is whoredom, spiritual whoredom in the sight of God. This man is the King. He is salvation. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it's all in the covenant of blood. In the tribulation period, the ecumenical movement will sweep the earth. And most of the so-called Christian community will be made up not of believers who trust in the blood of Christ, but those who trust in their own abilities and efforts. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath present indicative action. When he did it, here's what he did. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He sanctifies us, perfects us forever, makes us acceptable before the Father through the covering of his blood. And when God looks at us, he looks at us through his Son, who is our intercessor, And he is constantly aware of what his son did. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers all unrighteousness. That's why we ought to be faithful in church. That's why we ought to devote our time and our lives and our efforts and our prayers and our work towards God. Because this man, in mercy and in grace, expecting nothing in return, but in pure, unadulterated love that only God possessed, willingly shed his blood and gave his life that I might be allowed to stand here and proclaim it unto you. That you might be able to revel in the fact that you are the children of a Savior who died for you. So when it comes time to serve God, and when you have to make a choice as to whether you should serve God or whether you should serve your own self-interest, the choice that you should make should be based upon the love that this man showed to you, and it should be based upon your consideration as to what he's worth. He's worth everything, because he's the only reason you're not going to hell. He's the only reason I'm not going to hell. And his blood is the only liquid offering ever made that took away my sin. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant. It is a covenant of blood that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write. I know what's been going through Darrell's mind as I talk about the blood of Christ. I know what's been going through her mind, through her heart. I know what's been going through my mind. And I know you believe what I've told you. How do I know you believe? Because God has written in your heart the awareness that his son loves you, and that he shed his blood for us. He has now written in our hearts a blood covenant. That's the way you separate true believers from false believers. The only reason you're understanding what I'm saying, and the only reason inside your heart there's a gratefulness and an awareness and a thanksgiving to God, is because God's Spirit has written that in your heart, because you trust in the blood. Every one of you sitting here that have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you have your faith in that one offering he made, the offering of his own blood. It is a blood covenant. And after those days of the Old Testament, he has put his laws in your heart. In your minds, he has written them. And they are based on the covenant of his blood. And the reason you are here this morning to worship him is because the Spirit of God has written on your heart. And you know that I speak the truth. You look at God's word and you know the offering was made for you. And you don't have to sit there and wonder about your salvation, because you know it was bought and paid for by the most precious thing that ever came to this earth, the living blood of God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, that was offered up for your sins and your transgression and my sins and my transgression. And God has written that on your hearts. And as you look at these words and as I'm preaching, you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. But it's all by the power of God's Spirit. And it's a blood covenant. False religionists today don't preach much about blood. They preach about getting in the Word. They preach about following Jesus. They preach about worshiping Jesus. They preach about singing and shouting and dancing and exhibiting outwardly a manifestation of worship toward God. But unless your heart is in the blood of Christ and you recognize the blood as your only hope, you neither know him nor can worship him and praise him, no matter what your outward efforts may be. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Listen, I don't ever have to worry about going to hell, because my faith is in that one-time offering of Christ, that one-time blood sacrifice. It's my offering before God because he made it for me, and I have received it, and I am a son of God by grace through faith, and I've been born again. And the way you can tell if you've been born again, if your faith is in the blood sacrifice and the blood covenant of that man, and you don't have your faith scatterloaded over a million and one other things, my friends, you've been born again, because it is through the blood of Christ and the blood of Christ alone that the new birth comes. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more memory, no more offering necessary for sin. It's been done. my sacrifice before Almighty God was His Son. In my hand, O Christ, I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. My sacrifice before God was the blood and the body of His Son. And His Son is the only one who could have redeemed me. That's the only offering I have before God. And it's the only offering that's acceptable. And I hope this morning in your heart, while you're sitting here, you can say, yes, my faith is in His shed blood and in what Jesus did and in His faithfulness. It is not in myself or in my works or in my effort. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Throughout all the Old Testament, they brought sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And every year on the Day of Atonement, they would offer, one day they would have the high priest who went into the, behind the Holy of Holies, behind the great curtain, the veil. Twice that day he went in and made offerings before God. And he sprinkled the blood of the offering before the Ark of the Covenant, before Almighty God. And he offered blood not only for the sins of Israel, but for his own city. God accepted that blood only because it pictured the blood that was to come and forever forgive. But each year there was a remembrance made of sin. And during the course of the year, their memories broke up. Their memories brought back sin after sin after sin. And it would be necessary each year to cleanse it. But on the day that Jesus was crucified, as he was being sacrificed on the cross, and as he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he hung alone, bearing our sins on the cross. That's the blood cup. The blood that gave him life physically was trickling down the cross, and he hung there alone, his Father forsaken him, and he hung there alone as a man and bore our sins. That's faithfulness. He's the only one God ever received as being deserving of eternal life. And God resurrected him from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Your faith is not in the sacrifice that he made. You have no offering before God. You have no salvation before God. And on the instant that it was finished, the veil of the temple, that great thick veil that separated man from the holy place of God, was ripped from top to bottom. The way it was made through to God by the blood. It's all by the blood. Never has been by anything except the blood. Never will be by anything except the blood. There's coming a time on this earth when the Antichrist will attempt to duplicate very clearly what Jesus has already done. In Revelation 13:12, see, Revelation 13:14, see, we find these words written: worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He has a wound that kills him, supposedly. It's a deadly wound. A deadly wound kills. But he comes back to life. Verse 14. The beast, the Antichrist, which had the wound by a sword, is by a weapon of war, and did live. I don't understand exactly how the Antichrist is going to do this, but the world is going to think that he was fighting for them, for peace, for freedom, for justice, for man. And somehow he's going to suffer a wound that bleeds, and he's going to die. And then he's coming back to life, and the ecumenical movement, and all these false believers across the earth who do not have their faith in the blood of Christ will put their faith in him. He will give them all the things that fleshly man ever wanted. But not one of you who has your faith in the blood of Christ, who understands who Jesus is and what he's done, could ever put your faith in any other blood. Those of you who are here this morning that have your faith in the blood of Christ, I want you to think about it. Those of you who have understood what I said, and as I spoke of the blood of Christ, it touched your heart. Not my ability to preach, but the fact that Christ loved you that much to die for you. It touched your heart. It moved you. It made you grateful to God. you understand because God's Spirit has implanted it on your heart and you know it's the truth. You see, you could never take the Antichrist mark either in your hand or your forehead. You could never trust in his blood, because once you have trusted in the true blood of Christ and are made a true child of God, you know the truth, and the truth has made you free, and you would never go back under the bondage of the Antichrist. But this morning, as I stand here, in this area around Dardanelle and in Dardanelle itself, I dare say there are probably close to 25 or 26 different buildings in which people are moving this morning. In those buildings, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe he died on the cross for their sins. But the faith is not in Jesus' blood. It's not in Jesus' offering or sacrifice. It's in their own human efforts added to what Jesus did that they hope they make it. The expression is being put forward, if anybody makes it, surely he will, or surely she will. I would hate to think that my salvation was based upon what I do in life, and my works and my efforts. I could not live with it. I could not exist day by day. Because if you're honest with yourself, you know what you are. You're a sinner, and you're saved by grace. You'd never take anyone else's blood as the covering for your sin. Let me close this morning by simply asking you this question. Those sitting here who know Christ as Savior a long time ago put their faith in what Jesus did. The night I was saved, I'll never forget what really touched my heart. In my mind's eye, in my mind, in my heart, I saw that man hanging alone, and I saw him dying for my sins. And for the first time, I realized he was my only hope. And I trusted in what Jesus did and his offering as the only way I could go to heaven. And I found the way, I found the truth, and I have the life. This morning, if these words I've spoken have been strange and alien to you, they've been hard to understand. Maybe it's because you don't know Christ. Maybe it's because you've never just simply taken the time to come to Christ and accept his blood sacrifice as the only offering that God will receive for your sins. As I've said so many times, isn't it wonderful that I can't save you? How'd you like to have your salvation depend on me? And isn't it marvelous that this group of people here can't save you? As I've said many times, the greatest thing of all is that you can't save yourself. That just leaves Jesus and his blood and his offering. If you need a Savior this morning, there's only one. And there's only one blood. There's only one covenant, a blood covenant. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And right where you're sitting, if you want Jesus' blood applied to your life and you want him to save you this morning, he's alive. And he'll hear your prayer when you ask him to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you right where you're sitting, right here this morning. You'll approach God through his blood, realizing he died for you. Ask him to save you. He will, because that's where he died, and that's why he died. As we have this silent moment of prayer, each one of you here this morning has an opportunity to thank God, either for the fact he's already saved you by his blood, or you can come to God through the blood of Christ and ask for salvation, and you have God's guarantee you'll receive it. Heavenly Father, if someone this morning has trusted in Jesus, if they've asked Jesus to save them, O Lord, help them to realize in their hearts that that blood that saved them is a blood that leads them to follow Jesus, to be united with his church through baptism, not to be saved, but because they are saved, because they've asked, believing that the blood of Jesus could save them. Help them to profess, Lord, I pray, and help them to come. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As the pianist comes, as the song leader comes, I've presented to you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter. between you and His Spirit. If God's dealing with you this morning, I want to remind you, the Spirit that's dealing with you is the Spirit that the Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. It is the Holy Spirit who has been sent to testify of Jesus. He testifies in the hearts of men that Jesus shed His blood for their sins. He testifies in the heart of men you need to come trusting in His blood to save you. And He testifies in the hearts of those He has saved you need to unite with the church to serve Him. So however God's Spirit's dealing with you, consider who the Spirit is and how much He loves you. And let Him have His way, because He knows what He's doing. What number, Dad? Please come this morning if God's Spirit's dealing with you. Thank you all for coming. You boys were real good this morning.